It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of John, John chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 2 down through verse 18 today. So if you'd open your Bibles to those scripture verses, we will be reading them shortly. We have, I'd like to share with you at the same time that while you're looking that up, that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. And that's just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And if you'd like to send us a note or a card, why, please just put box 43 and the zip code is 62341. I'm glad that you've joined us today. Please that you have your Bibles open now and we can begin to read the precious Word of God. John chapter 7, beginning to read with verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand. His brethren, therefore, said unto him, Depart hence and go to Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to know, to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto him, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up into the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast, and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man, others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. The Jews marveled, saying, How knowest this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I thank you that we can come and enjoy this time together. Please, that you help each and every one of us to grow, that we see the sin that is slowing us down, that's not allowing us to grow closer and closer to you, expose that sin and bring it to our attention that we may take care of it by your power and the strength that you give us, Lord. I ask, Father, that you will take these words and touch the hearts of not only the saved, the believers in the Lord Jesus, as we are to learn and to grow closer to you, but also, Father, to those that are lost. And when you're lost, you need to be found, Lord, and most people don't even know they're lost. I ask that you will take today your word and convict the heart of those that are lost, that have never come by faith to you, and trust in the cross of Calvary where you died for them, and trust in your death, your resurrection, your life, your blood, Father, that they will come to your Son Jesus and be saved, and that way they can all can be back into fellowship with you, Father. Please help us to see and to understand the Word of God today, your Word, that we may, again, draw closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have spent last time we were together looking through these words of Scripture to the point that we understood that the brothers, the actual brothers, half-brothers of the Lord Jesus, that they were not saved. It tells us in the fifth verse, For neither did his brothers believe in him. And so you see, just to be part of a family, or just to be part of a church, to join a church, a certain church, that doesn't do it, my friend. It just doesn't do it. You need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in Him. So please, as we read through these verses of Scripture today, that you'll very carefully and very clearly listen to the Word of God. It will convict your heart because that's what the Word does to our hearts. It convicts our hearts. So we find that, the brethren that is spoken of in verse 3 is the brothers of the Lord Jesus, His half-brothers. We have found that down in Judea they seek to kill Jesus. They do not like the light as it comes before them. They would rather live in their darkness. And so they, even though they're very religious, yet they do not want Jesus to be a part of that. And again, we have that same situation today. Churches are full of people, and they think that they're doing everything correctly. And I don't want to I want you to wake up. I just want you to see that, there is only one way for salvation, and that's by and through the Lord Jesus. I want you to see, as we study today, that the only time that that you are truly saved is when you have confessed the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believed in your heart. Really believed it, taken it in as the it speaks of Him again, being the bread of life, being the living water. Many times through God's Word, He refers to Himself in that manner. And the reason that He does is because it's something that you take in. And so it's more than just in the mind, it's down into the heart. So please, that you come by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And what's happened today is when people are faithful to the church, and they're very religious and they work very hard, they don't realize that there is one more step. There's a step that they need to take prior to that, and that's coming to Jesus and having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. So I don't care where you're going, you need to just look at that. Examine your heart. And then the Lord will move you, whether to move you into a church that does preach the Word because yours doesn't, I don't know. But let's deal with what we need to deal with first, and that is coming to the Lord Jesus and being saved. Again, someone so close to Jesus, and yet still was not saved. How could this be? Well, it's very simple. It's because each and every individual has got to make a decision for the Lord Jesus. We find then in verse 6, again, the review from last week, then Jesus said to them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." It's always ready. They could do anything they wanted to do. But the schedule that the Lord Jesus was keeping was not His. He did not get up in the morning and decide, okay, today I think I'm going to go down and go fishing. His life was planned. His life was set, and there were things that needed to be done at a certain time, and that direction was not the Lord Jesus' will, it was the will of His Father. And He came down here to do the will of His Father. And He was here to carry that out. And so He said, "My time is not yet come." Your time, you can do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. You're not accounting, having to answer to anybody. But I do. Now, we waste an awful lot of time doing that, doing what we want to do. Going here and going there and doing this. We need to account for our time. Time is something, you know, you can buy a different car, or you can change jobs. I mean, there's a lot of things that you do in your lifetime. But there's one thing that you cannot do, and that is you cannot add 1 second to a day. And if you waste a minute today, or an hour today, you'll never get that hour back. You'll never get it back. So we need to be accountable for our time. We need to use our time in the purpose and the responsibility of glorifying God, not to please ourselves. But you'll find that when you glorify God, it will please you. So see, one brings the other. Are we willing to trust in the Lord Jesus for that freedom and that peace and that joy that comes when we do that? We know, according to the Word of God here, that not only is the Lord Jesus, His agenda is set, He is doing his Father's will, not his own. And he tells these people, you come and go as you please. I don't. I am following my Father's will. He continues here in the 7th verse and says, the world cannot hate you. Now, there's a lot of people that, before I was saved, maybe people didn't like me, but when you're the same as the world, when you're like the world, you are the world. We've spent some time the last Bible study that we had in the La Harpe in the nursing home, the scripture verse that we were covering speaks that we would desire the glory of man more than the glory of God, or we would desire the praise of man more than the praise of God. We like it when people like us. We don't like people to not like us, and we do everything we can do that people will like us, even when it is contrary to the word and the will of God. And that should not be. The desire of our heart is that we should always, always want to praise God. And if you have a believer next to you, then they will probably be praising God too. But if you have a lost person next to you, even though they're a church person, and you stand for the Word of God, and you do what God commands us to do, and that's to be a witness for Him, and to walk with Him, and stay with His Word, you are not going to be popular. People as a whole are not going to like you. Now, they didn't hate you first. They hated Jesus first. But me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. You see why the people of the world like the people of the world, and the people of the world do not like Christians, believers, those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus? Because the Lord Jesus, when He comes in, When the word is presented, and this just isn't a social gospel that you can preach. I'm talking about the Word of God. And this is the reason that we must stay with the truth. We must not compromise the Word of God and the doctrines that it holds. We cannot compromise those, because when you do, when you come up with all these other activities to draw people in, to have them so they've got a full life, When you do that, you are changing, you are taking away from the Word of God. People do not believe today that the Word of God is enough. They take the Word of God plus. We've got to have you read in the newspaper. You can't believe the activities that are centered around and within the church. And if you'll look at that list, the list will be long of all kinds of activities, all the way from a knitting class to a basketball game. All these things are listed as activities of the week at the church. But you really got to hunt for a Bible study. They're not very often. That's the work of the church, is to proclaim the Word of God, to come together and fellowship together, not through a basketball game, not through a knitting class, not through who knows what else. And again, all you got to do is look at the newspaper and see all the activities that there's there. And they said, well, our church is full and yours isn't. That's fine. Jesus is preached here, and many people don't like the light. You've got all those activities because you have to have those, because the power and the Spirit of God is not present. And when He's not present, then you have to have other activities to keep people coming. The people that come here because they want the Word of God. They don't want those other activities. They've got work to deal with. They've got families to deal with. Why don't we have the families stay home once in a while? That'd be a terrible thing to have to stay home, wouldn't it? We've got to have the gymnasiums open at the school every night, every Sunday, We've got to have activities for our children because they're going to be in trouble. Our children are going to be in trouble if we don't present them the truth, the Word of God, and let the power of God convict their heart and bring them to the Lord Jesus, and then teach them of the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to save them. It's not going to be some activity. It's not going to be some youth center. It's not going to be some youth group that has all kinds of activities that go halfway around the world. That's not going to happen. The world hates Jesus because He is the light and the world is darkness. Now you present the truth and some people are going to hate you and some people are not going to desire at all to come into to that church that preaches the Word. Some people are not going to desire to hear that. They would rather come and stay away from the Word. Oh, just touch it just for a few minutes. We'll have a 5-minute devotion and then we'll go do this. No. Let's come together and let's study the Word of God. Because you see, the others is not of God. Now, it's good Christian fellowship, they'll tell you. You can ask most of those people to tell you and teach you the Word of God, and they can't. Because the only thing that draws them is all these activities. It's not the Word of God. So you're saying the Word of God's not enough. I'm saying the Word of God is enough. And we need to present Jesus. And when the light of the Lord Jesus shines forth, it's going to hit some of you folks right between the eyes and you're not going to like it. But it's going to hit some of you folks as well and you're going to realize that you're lost in your sin and you need Jesus. He's telling them right here, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. This whole world is evil and that evilness has come into the church. That evilness is out in the world and the world has snuck right into the church. And it's going to stay there until we begin to preach the truth. Oh yes, it's very easy to slip off into the sin of the world. It happens to every one of us. But we need to come to the Lord Jesus. Repent of that sin. Be restored back into the fellowship and go right back into the Word of God. Search that Word, study that Word, grow closer to the Lord Jesus. He tells the folks here in the 8th verse, "Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet come full come." And so he's telling these to go on up. You see, they know they need to be in Jerusalem on the Feast of the Tabernacle. Remember, that was one of the three, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle. That was one of the three that they had to go home or had to go to Jerusalem, to where the temple was. Everything was in Jerusalem. So they would have to go to Jerusalem on these three feasts or festivals. And yet they weren't even saved. So don't tell me that you, just because you go to church, that that's enough. Because Jesus declares here, these were his half-brothers. And yet he says, neither did his brethren believe in him. My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it. I testify literally against it, because, as the scripture says, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. So as long as you can keep Jesus out of your life, and you can keep Jesus away from you, you won't feel so bad. You'll compare yourself with another man, but we need to compare ourselves with God. And the only way we can do that is through and by coming to the Lord Jesus. Looking unto Him. Coming by faith to Him. Believing Him in our heart that He has died on the cross of Calvary that we may live. Please that you come to Jesus. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. They were going to go. Your time's your time, you go ahead and go. I'm not going. Well, he was going, because see, he had to go, because he was fulfilling the law. And the law needed to be fulfilled. Jesus is perfect. But when his brethren, in verse 10, were gone up, then went he also up into the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. again, he had to come quietly and kind of behind the scene because they sought to kill him. And his time was not yet come. And so, again, we're approximately 6 months away. We have the Feast of the Tabernacle, and we know that's about 6 months away from the crucifixion. His time had not come. So he had come in secretly. He had come in quietly into Jerusalem. And then the Jews sought him at the feast and says, "Where is he?" You see, here comes the folks that were around him, the folks that were kind of with him and following him. But where is Jesus? If he confesses to be the Savior of the world, if he is God, would he not be in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacle? I wonder how many of them thought that he has to come. We will look for him, we will search for him, because he'll be here. Because this is the law. And he speaks of the law, he speaks of truth. And he speaks of God, so he's got to be here. I'm not sure how many was looking for him, or when they saw the other group, and he wasn't with them, that they inquired. But either way, they sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" There was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. You know, we have a man named Saul in the scripture, that this man went out against every Christian. He was a Jew, he knew the Word of God, he'd studied the Word of God, but he had missed Jesus. And that's the reason I continue to come back to you. Because just because you're in the church, or you're a deacon of the church, or a pastor of a church, that does not mean that you have taken the time and recognized by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You go into His Word and you read these verses of Scripture, the Word of God will convict your heart. The power is in the Word. Get out of those other books. Study and search and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through His Word. If you continue to sit down, and many folks today, they do a devotion. Many lost people sit down and they open that devotional, that daily devotion up, and they read that every day. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you read the Scripture first? Or do you just read the little story that's with it? And many of them are very good. And to have a daily devotion is very important. But do you take time to read the Scripture? Or do you just take time to read the devotion? Now you see, if you're just reading the devotion only, you are not getting the Word of God. You're getting some man's opinion of the Word of God. And so I ask you that sit down, and if you think you don't have enough time, sometimes the time, you know, we should always have time. But read the Scripture that it calls for first. Maybe it's one verse, maybe it's a chapter, but read that Scripture slowly and carefully, and then read the comments about it. But always read the Word of God first. Always read the Word of God first. Because you see, you need the leadership and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And unless you read the Word first, if you read man's comments first, then your mind will be set upon that's what it means. You read the Word of God first, and yes, you'll still have some influence of the man that wrote that and his opinion, but it'll be such a help. Because you'll give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to teach you His truths if you'll read the Word first. So I ask you to do that. He said, "Oh, Larry, I always have done that." Well, see that you read the Word first. But many people just read the devotion. Many people just read their Sunday school quarterly. They study that lesson, but they do not read the Scripture that it pertains to. And again, I ask that you read that scripture first. You read the scripture first. And you know, as many things in this world, and I'm going to give you an example. Many times as a board will get together, and I've been on a few boards through the years, and as an executive board of one sort or another will come together, and most of the time that you'll have an administrator that will be hired to run the business, the organization, the school, whatever it might be. And many times, instead of that board being run by the president of the board is run by that administrator. And so, what would happen, instead of getting the opinion of the board and the feeling of the members of that board, the administrator will give you their opinion first and tell you what they believe first before any other discussion is taken care of. And you watch, almost every time you'll turn and go that way because he has presented it in such a way you think, yes, that's right. But if the board has an opportunity to speak first and then the administrator, all of a sudden now you have the opinion of several people, and you've listened to all those ideas and principles and things to do and all this, then the administrator says, okay, here's what I think we need to do. You know, many times the board decision will stand, not the administrator's. The board is placed there by the people. You present you are a representative of the people. But many times, because that opinion comes out first, then it just gets you a mindset, and that's where you go. The devil does the same thing. He can take something so necessary to a believer as the daily devotion, and he can get you just to reading that man's opinion first before you go to the Word of God. And so your mindset, that old devil's tickled. But many folks don't even read the Scripture. I just got time to read through the devotion, but I don't read the Scripture. Read the Scripture first. If you don't get time to read the rest of it, that's fine. But always read the Word of God. Always read the Scripture. It's so important because these people here, they sit down. There is much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said he is a good man. Others say nay, but he deceiveth the people. This man Saul sought out to go after the people because he missed Jesus, because he knew the Word of God, but he was listening to man's teaching. He was listening to the constant teaching of the doctrine of the day, not the doctrine of the Word of God. He was listening to tradition, not to the Word of God. Well, this man Saul, let me tell you what God changed his name to. Paul. Paul, the Apostle Paul. He went from a man that was murmuring, that was going after him, that's saying that this man Jesus is deceiving the people. He went to a teacher of the Word of God because he found Jesus. The difference was from the mind to the heart. Will you please accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior? It's more than just saying the words. Remember last time we were together in John chapter 1 verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us? You take the Word and you take it into your mind that Jesus saves. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for you, and all you need to do is come by faith to Him, and He will save you, and He will take your sins away. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?